Amen. I trust you are resolved to follow the Savior, no longer to linger charmed by the world's delights. You know, the world does have some temporary charms that it offers. And because our flesh is weak, we need to be careful. We need to be prepared to face those challenges with spiritual power from the Lord. And that really is the title of my sermon tonight. Be prepared. Be prepared. So here we are. I cannot believe it, but we are at the last service of 2021. And what a whirlwind of a couple of years it has been, right? We cannot change the past, but we can be prepared for the future. So I'm going to share with you some things tonight that will, I hope, will put your mind in a preparation mode, if you will, for 2022. And some of what I will talk about tonight will be a rehash of some of the things I've preached on over the last, I don't know, several months, because particularly we're going to be in Book of Daniel for a little bit, Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to use Daniel as an illustration of being prepared to be used of God. And I thought it would be good to remind you of those things and use them as illustrations to drive in preparation mode for 2022. So I'm wondering now, in your heart and your mind, have you considered what you want to accomplish in the coming year? Now, I'm not talking about financial goals, or I'm not talking about those type of things. I'm talking about spiritually. What are you hoping to accomplish in 2022? And you may be like, well, you know, Pastor Tricky, honestly, I'm just thinking of it as you're asking me. I guess I should have some goals for 2022. And if you're like me, the end of the year always sneaks up, right? But it's still a good time to evaluate and make plans. And I don't really care for New Year's resolutions all that much, but I do understand the benefit of a fresh calendar year. This is kind of like a new day, right? The sun goes down, you go to bed, you wake up, it's a new day. Well, now it is a new year, and it is important for us to be prepared for what God may want to do in and through us in the coming year. Do you agree that we need to be a tool ready to be used of God? There's nothing more frustrating than going to get a tool for a job and the tool is not ready to be used. When I was in Oklahoma, I used to do the painting of the football fields for the games, the high school football games. And they had this really nice painting machine, and it had the, I guess it was propane, or I don't know exactly what it was, but it was gas. You opened it up, and then you put the paint in, and you just drove it down the straight line. And I enjoyed doing it because it was a nice, it looked nice at the end of the, you felt like you were accomplishing something. But there was nothing more frustrating than grabbing that sprayer, and whoever did it before you did not clean out the tip. You know, that it's just clogged. So you go, you get the paint ready, and you're ready to pull that trigger, and pfft, nothing happens. Oh, that is frustrating. The tool was not ready to be used, and dried up paint is not easy to get out of there, right? So there's that. And I want to be a clear nozzle for the Lord to use. Does that make sense? We ought to be a tool ready for the use of the Master. And I want you to consider that as we're looking at about being prepared. So actually, I have been priming this topic for a couple of weeks. Because if you were here the last two Wednesday nights, or perhaps heard my lessons online, I was talking about Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph were prepared to be used of God. I'm not saying that the news they received wasn't shocking, but the way they responded to the news they received and how God intended to use them it showed preparation. And they were just teenagers. They were very young people. And yet they were ready to be used of God in monumental ways. And so my goal tonight is to have you to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually, and leave this evening with a sense of hope and direction for what God may want to accomplish in you in 2022. So I'm not going to give you a list of things to check, but more of a mindset. And we'll look at a couple of mindsets in Scripture to be a guidance for us, and to pray that the Lord will help us with that. So do you believe that God has a plan for you? Do you believe it? No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, or what part of life you are in, does God have a plan for you? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Do you remember what God did when he saved your soul? Sometimes starting with just a rehash of your salvation testimony is a good way to pump your heart up to be used of God. You know, I wish we had time to go around the room tonight and share salvation testimonies, because it is so powerful to do that. But do you remember how God provided for you and brought you to him? I want to show you a couple of verses. You know, if you were talking to a lost person and they came up to you and they said to you, "What has God ever done for you?" I wonder how you would respond. I hope that you would obviously respond with salvation and tell them your testimony. And speaking of that, regarding our salvation, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 4. He says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And we skip down to verse 9. It says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance." And listen to this last line, you see it there. "Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." That's an interesting phrase, that last phrase. Look at it again. "Worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." So there is this this argument when it comes to this idea of God working all things to the counsel of his own will. If God works all things after the counsel of his own will, and if these matters have been determined before the foundation of the world, how should we respond to that? Well, my suggestion to you tonight is with grateful obedience, with grateful obedience. Well, what would be the point, Pastor Tricky? Why obey? For instance, if God has worked all things after the counsel of his own will, then why pray? Well, because we're instructed to do so, right? We are given the command, in fact, in Scripture, pray without ceasing. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. But God, you're going to work it according to the counsel of your will anyway. So why pray, or why do this, or why do that? You know, I have learned in ministry, perhaps you've learned this as well, that it's far more beneficial to do it God's way, whether we completely understand it or not. There is something to be said for obedience and faith and trusting the Lord. And, you know, he did say that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. So it should not be surprising to us that there are things this side of heaven that will be hard for us to understand. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be obedient. And I often will reference this illustration. I gave Harvey these verses in Nehemiah chapter 4. You can turn there if you want, and then we'll be in Daniel chapter 6. But Nehemiah chapter 4, I want to give you a little bit of an illustration here. I love in Nehemiah 4 where these people are scared to death at this point, because they've been sent now to build the wall, and now they have all of these leaders and different kingdoms, essentially, that are out to stop them from doing the work of the Lord. And they just don't want it to happen. They were very wroth that the wall was going up, and they're fighting against it. So we read in verse 9, it says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish." There's so much piles of stuff that we were not able to build the wall. "And our adversary said," those that are trying to stop this, "they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence shall return unto us, they will be upon you." In other words, you're not going to make it. Verse 13. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with the swords, their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. Now, that is God at work, right? That since God did that, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. You know, God is in control, is he not? And he provides you and I with the opportunity to be available to serve, to be ready to be used as a vessel to accomplish his purposes. If you are not willing and if you are not there, it does not mean that God will not accomplish his purpose, right? We're going to look at that in just a little bit more detail here in a minute. But sometimes we allow the rubbish that we see around us. You know, they're looking at the destruction of the city and thinking it's just insurmountable to be able to do all this. Well, in a way, sometimes we do that as well. We allow the rubbish of the world and we sometimes look at the wickedness of it and all the evil and the moving away of Christianity, and we think, you know, is God even going to be willing to do anything with anybody? This world is such a terrible place, and there's really no point. I'm not sure that God can or will still work in my life, let alone in our church. What's the point? You know, it's high time we remember the Lord and the Great Commission and do what God has told us to do. Do what he says. Trust him first and follow him, and you will learn his way. In fact, that's actually a biblical concept. Just trusting and obeying and following him, and then understanding sometimes comes after the fact. Now, that's an act of faith. If you're going to follow and obey God, not really understanding exactly what's going on, I have found many times in my life that often he will offer understanding as I follow him, as I obey him. I was at the courts of Rushdale yesterday, and it's a retirement home where Chuck and Marguerite Toms live, and we were talking just a little bit about the will of God. And how often have you wondered in your life, what is God's will for me? You know, what is it? What is God's will, or where is God's will, or what am I supposed to do? And there's a very real sense in which God's will can be known on a daily basis. And that is by obeying the word of God and doing the things that you know in the Bible to do. Follow him, be obedient, and allow him to guide every single step that you take. Even if we don't fully understand the balance, we can certainly focus on doing what God has instructed us to do in his word regarding our responsibilities. We'll do our part, and we'll trust him to do his. And the children of Israel, yes, they were scared, and they wanted to give up, but they continued firm, and God brought their counsel, the enemy counsel, to naught. And so they returned to their work, working on rebuilding the wall. There's a sense in which the things that we're commanded to do in Scripture are a privilege for us to be involved in. You know, that God has allowed you to be used of him to accomplish his goal and his purpose and his will and way in somebody's life. I sometimes get goosebumps thinking of such things, you know. Whenever I receive a phone call or an email and someone will say, wow, Pastor Tricky, you know what you said Sunday really helped me in this regard, or really helped me. And I just give God all the glory that he would use me to portray a truth from Scripture that would help somebody. I praise the Lord for that. I want to be used of him. The same is true when it comes to evangelism and telling others the good news of Jesus Christ and encouraging them to repent and believe. If you're going to take the Bible seriously, you have to do business with the fact that we have a job to do. And yes, you have to, you know, you can't get away from all the doctrine in Scripture of election and the foreknowledge of God and all of those things. It's taught all over the Bible. In fact, one good example is in Romans chapter 8 in verse 28 and 29. And this is a passage that is beloved by Christians, right? We know that all things work together for good to them who are the called. To them who are the called according to his purpose. But the next verse says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So just like with prayer, you could look at passages like these that are heavily emphasizing God's sovereignty in the salvation process, and you would say, you know, why evangelize? You know, God already knows who's going to be saved, and why would we send missionaries? Why should we do outreach? Well, the answer is because God has told us to, and we get to participate. We get to be used of God, and he created us, and he designed us. And so being used of God is how we will be satisfied. It is how we will be fulfilled. Don't you think our Creator knows what we need to be fulfilled? We often will be skewed, our view of that will be skewed by the world if we let it be. Very easily, we will see the things of the world, charmed by the world's delight, because it seems to draw the flesh, and we're thinking to ourselves, well, I think fulfillment will come in money, or I think fulfillment will come in this relationship. I think fulfillment will come when I get into a better situation. No. God has given us the perfect outline for fulfillment in life, and he has instructed us in his word what we are to do. And by the way, there's a lot of scripture that has to do with man's responsibility as well. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then what does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:20? I bet you know it. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." I am an ambassador for Christ. What a privilege. What an honor to be used of God to tell people about Jesus. Does he know whether or not the person I tell is going to be saved or not? Of course he does. He's God. He's sovereign. But just because he knows doesn't mean I don't still have an obligation to obey and follow and do as the Lord says. It's just like the parable of the sower and casting the seeds. Even on the stony, hard ground that will not take the seed, they still cast the seed out, right? Still cast to the gospel. Do you believe that God has things that he would like to do in and through you? And do you believe that you need to be prepared for it? If you want God to do those things in and through you, you need to be prepared. And what better time to consider that than right here, right now? We can't change anything in the past, but we can prepare for the future. And here we are a couple days away from a new year. Why not to do what you can to prepare yourself spiritually to make 2022 the best spiritual year that you have ever had? There's plenty of examples in Scripture where the Lord chose to do something marvelous in and through one of his servants. And there's also evidence that such individuals who God used did an important work themselves to be prepared. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, and we're going to get to Daniel chapter 6 soon, I promise. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." A miserable and depressed and defeated and joyless Christian does not provide a good advertisement for faith, right? God has not planned for us to be miserable. The fact that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit means that we are not responsible to produce it. You do realize that, right? This is something that has baffled me in my lifetime, and have dealt with several people regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Because it is a fruit of the Spirit, you are not required to manufacture it. You know, we sometimes try to take it upon ourselves. Well, I'm saved, I must have this fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so I need to create it. No. We need to yield to his control and allow him to produce joy in our lives. I was reading about Adoniram Judson. And he was known by the people in Burma as Mr. Glory Face. Mr. Glory Face. And you know what? That just blesses my heart to consider that. Why? Because what was inside showed up in his face to those that he was witnessing to. Hey, there comes Mr. Glory Face. Oh, may I be so yielded to the control of the Spirit of God that joy shines like a light bulb from my face. I would love for that to be said of me, not because I want glory, but because I want to point people to the source of that joy. God wants us to be witnesses of his love and grace to a lost and dying world. If we appear to have no better hope than those around us, then we are people are unlikely to listen. You know, so what do you have that I should listen to? Make sure you're prepared for what God may choose to do in and through you. Think about this just purely for a moment from a human perspective. Wouldn't it be a shame if God wanted to use you and had intentions to use you, but because you were not obedient and following him, he passed over and used someone else? I mean, it'd be sad to think of that. Consider these characters from God's word. We looked at Mary and Joseph and how they were prepared to be used of God. For another example, we did study this in detail earlier this year, but I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was a great example of someone who was ready. He was prepared spiritually. Look at the way that the Lord used him. I want to start sort of at the end of Daniel chapter 6 and look at verse 25. Now, what we are going to look at is the result of Daniel being prepared. This is what it led to. Then King Darius, in verse 25, wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Wow! How is a pagan king saying this? For he is the living God and steadfast forever. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, imagine that. Imagine a secular king being so impacted by the life of one of these servants, one of his servants, essentially, that he makes a proclamation throughout the entire empire that the God of Israel is the living God whose kingdom will not be destroyed, whose dominion is forever and ever. What would lead to such a proclamation? I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was God's servant being ready and prepared to be used by God in an amazing way. You know, this Daniel, of course, we know the story. I'm not going to rehash the whole history. He was young, deported to Babylon and trained in the ways of the Babylonian Empire in hopes that they will, you know, essentially bring the rest of the children of Israel along and they'll all be this wonderful pagan kingdom together. That was the plan of the Babylonian Empire, right? But of course, it didn't happen that way. In this case, Daniel, his allegiance, in every case, really, that we read in the book of Daniel, his allegiance to God was so consistent and so faithful that he continually impacted the foreign leaders to think about declaring allegiance to the God of heaven and earth. Darius wasn't the only one, was he, that Daniel impacted in such a way? And also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were ready to be used of God. They were prepared by being obedient to the things they knew. And I made a point when I was preaching through the series in Daniel that they did not do so with a haughty spirit or a real showy way, saying, no, we will not. We are Christians. We will not. No, they simply and lovingly and very clearly stated why they were doing the things that they were doing. There's no question that the Lord used him to have incredible influence on many secular kings like Daniel did. Why was that the case? Why was Darius here making an amazing proclamation? How did it happen? What caused Darius to draw this conclusion? Well, it'd be fun to preach the Daniel and the Lion's Den story again. But I know probably everybody here tonight and watching knows the story. They made up some law. They have to do this and only pray to the king, and Daniel wouldn't do it. And so Daniel got thrown into it. Darius didn't want to do it, right? He was sick that he had made this law that couldn't be overturned, and he was tricked into doing it. But we know that God delivered Daniel. And what if God wanted to do something like that in your life in 2022? You know, I'm not saying putting you in a lion's den, but what if God wanted to do something like that with your life in 2022 by putting you right now in the middle of a difficulty just so you could be on display as filled with His power, as a tool? He wants to allow you to steward a difficulty for His honor and for His glory. Do you think this was easy for Daniel? I believe that there was no question in his mind that he was going to follow God. But I would imagine there was some trepidation as he looked at those lions, right? Okay, I hope this doesn't hurt. I know I'm going to die. I know I'm doing right, and I know my God can deliver me. But I wonder what was going through his mind. We've made it such a fun kid story. The reality of it is quite different. I saw a video of an African safari. And they were lodged down for the night, and a big lion came into the camp and entered one of the tents. And I mean, there was actual fear on the face of everybody there. And I thought, I imagine what Daniel really, what this must have been like in reality. But the reality of the matter is, Daniel was willing to be used of God. He was willing to be put in a difficult situation in order for God's glory to be on display. And you know what? God's glory still would have been on display if Daniel got chewed up and eaten, right? Because then it would have been a servant of God willing to die for God. Same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said as much. Our God is able to deliver us, but if we don't, if he doesn't, and we burn up, we're still not bowing down to this image. Would you want to be in a position to impact people in that way? Would you want to be the next Daniel? I hope you would say yes, not because you look forward to the uncertainty of whether the lions would harm you or not, but because you value living in such a way that would cause others to see the power of God. Do you think that preparation had anything to do with it in Daniel's life? In other words, humanly speaking, was God only able to use Daniel in this way because of the way Daniel had chosen to previously live? It's a trick question, right? Because I'm not here to limit what God can do. But was there any aspect of Daniel's preparedness that allowed Daniel to be used in the way that he was used here? Pastor Tricky, are you saying that God's plan can be thwarted by our lack of obedience? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe his plan will be thwarted. In fact, we could say it this way. God will use you one way or another. He will use you one way or another. He will accomplish his purposes in and through you one way or the other. That's true on many levels. For example, his glory, God will be glorified in you either by blessing you for your obedience or by judging your disobedience and using someone else in your place. You see, he still gets the glory, and he's still sovereign, and he's still in control. You see how we're so small, you know, we're so insignificant if we are trying to do anything apart from the power of God. It's worthless. So why not be in a position, a prepared position, to be used of God no matter what he sees fit, to bring him honor and to bring him glory? God's glory is not in jeopardy based on the choices you do or do not make. But if God is either going to be glorified by blessing your obedience, or he's going to be glorified by judging your disobedience and allowing someone else to take the responsibility, who wouldn't want to be on the front side of that equation, right? I want to be used of God and blessed because of my obedience. So that takes us back to Daniel. Was God only able to use Daniel in this way because of the way Daniel had chosen to previously live? Now that is an absolute yes. God was able to use Daniel in this way because Daniel had chosen to live for the Lord. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den to be an example of God's mighty power. You know, why was he thrown in there in the first place? Was the king just having a really bad day? No, he was tricked, remember? So the first part of this chapter explains that the king was about to appoint Daniel this great leader, and you know the story. And so all of this is just orchestrated by God, and God ends up getting the glory out of the life of Daniel. I love the way that Daniel was prepared. You know, when Daniel heard that this law had passed, look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before aforetime. And there it is. Daniel had no idea when this particular year began that he would be in a position where the king would make such an incredible pronouncement to the entire nation. He had no idea that he would be involved in a thrilling victory like the shutting of the lion's mouths. He knew this, though. He needed to be prepared spiritually for whatever the Lord might bring his way. My friend, we must also be prepared for what the Lord may bring our way in 2022. We do our part and trust God to do his. Now let's turn that around to just you and me for a moment. You know, 2022 is just a couple days away. And how are you going to be prepared to be used of God? What would being prepared spiritually for what God may choose to do in and through you, what would that look like? What specific processes do you need to have in place in order to make that preparation actually occur? Give me something practical, Pastor Tricky. Well, you know, I wonder if, very basically speaking, do you have a Bible reading plan? You know, what? Maybe what you've done this year has worked out well for you, and you've grown throughout your Bible reading. Or maybe you would say, boy, it started off really good. Boy, Pastor McLean was really challenging us, and we were following several different scriptures, and I don't know what happened. I just sort of got derailed, and I haven't done a lot of Bible reading, and now I feel guilty. You know, make a plan. It doesn't hurt to make a plan to read your Bible. Have you demonstrated that you trust the Lord? First of all, do you know Christ as your Savior? I mean, that would be basic, right? Make sure that you're saved, that you've been baptized. Do you have a Bible study plan in place? Do you have a prayer plan in place? Do you have a ministry plan in place? You know, it may not be a ministry opportunity provided for you. It may be something that God is just burdening your heart to. You have a real burden for your neighborhood, and you want to share the gospel. You want to, there's somebody that maybe you've known for a long time and you've never had a genuine long conversation with them about the things of God. And making a plan to do that, inviting them out for coffee or a phone call, something like that. None of us know how the Lord might want to use us as individuals or as a church, but we know this. It's never going to happen if we're not prepared spiritually. There are other examples in Scripture, but for sake of time, I don't believe I'm going to go into the details. The last one I was going to talk about briefly was just Hannah. You know, Hannah was prepared to be used of God, and she dealt with a lot. You know, Hannah was one of two wives of her husband, and that was a problem in and of itself because that Peninnah woman was quite the case, wasn't it? Really treated her poorly, but you know, Hannah did not respond sinfully to that. She had a lot of reason to be bitter. But she wasn't. In fact, what she did was she went and she poured her heart out to God. And when the time came, she was prepared to be used of God to be the mother of Samuel. And that was a great honor to be Samuel's mother. I mean, Samuel was one of the most influential characters in the Old Testament. And so there's all sorts of ways that we need to consider being prepared to be used of God. We don't know what may come this year. But you know, I do know this. And I don't know if I say this too much, people might think, man, Pastor Ricky, you say that an awful lot. You know, our life is so short. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And I want to be prepared to use that vapor, what time I have to honor the Lord. And it's scary to say, whatever, God, whatever it is, I want to be used of you. But I hope we can say that and mean it tonight, that we would be prepared to be used of God however he sees fit. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your prophet, your servant Daniel, Lord, who was able to be used of you because he was prepared. And you know, we serve the same God of Daniel as you, and he's our God today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be ready to be used of you any way that you see fit. And Lord, the way to prepare for that is to study, to follow, to obey, to be moldable, to be vessels fit for the master's use. I pray that for every person within the sound of my voice this evening. We give you all the praise and glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.